The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Our gospel reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. We'll be reading, beginning at verse 1. Again, this is from The Message. Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. He said, "There was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for people. A widow in that city kept after him, 'My rights are being violated. Protect me.' He never gave her the time of day. But after this went on and on, he said to himself, 'I care nothing what God thinks, even less what people think. But because this widow won't quit badgering me, I'd better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding.' Then the master said, 'Do you hear what the judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you he will. He will not drag his feet. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns?" The Gospel of Christ. All right, I'd like to invite you to sit down, and I'll call the children up to come here, please. And so all of you, please come up here. Anyone in here who is a youth or a young person or even an older person, if you want to come sit up here too, that's 100% fine. We've got a special guest with us this morning named Renee. And Renee is going to tell us a story that has some of the themes from our gospel. And then we're going to talk a little bit about that. So I'm going to call Renee up. Renee is a friend of ours that we've known for quite a long time. And I don't want you to like be biased against her, but she's a teacher. But she's also a very good storyteller. So she's going to come and tell us a story.
So the story that I have for you today comes from Africa, from the Bantu people. A long time ago, there was a famine. That means that there's not enough rain. And if there's not enough rain, the plants can't grow. And if the plants don't grow, then the animals that eat plants have nothing to eat. And the plant-eating animals were getting very worried. They were running out of food. They were feeling desperate. And so they decided to have a meeting. They could talk about strategies and discuss ideas. All of the plant-eating animals came. Giraffe was there, zebra was there, gazelle, and they talked about ways to find food. The best idea they came up with was to send out a search party. They were hoping for some fresh green grass, maybe some juicy, nibbly leaves, but they walked a very, very long time without finding anything. But they couldn't give up. They wanted that good food, and so they kept searching. And then, off in the distance, they spotted a tree that looked green. And they started to get excited, and they hurried in that direction. And the closer they got, the more excited they got, because it looked like there was fruit growing on the tree. They ran right up to that tree. It was covered in all kinds of fruit. There were apples on the tree, and oranges, and bananas, and kiwis, and lemons, and pineapples. Even watermelon grew on that tree. But when the animals tried to pick the fruit, when they tried to pull it down to eat, it was stuck. And no matter what they did, they couldn't get the fruit. And one of the very oldest elephants there said, "Oh, I remember this tree. My grandmother used to tell me stories about this tree. It's a magical tree, and it will only let go of its fruit if you say its name. But Elephant couldn't remember the tree's name. And none of the animals there had ever heard the story. None of them knew the name of the tree. But Tortoise had an idea. So slowly, Tortoise raised his hand. "Ah, Tortoise," said the other animals. "You're so funny looking with that shell on your back. Your ideas are probably funny too. We don't want to listen to you." Poor Tortoise. His feelings were hurt, but he was pretty sure it was a good idea. So he decided to try again. "I think the king might know the..." I know! Hair started hopping up and down. "I know! I think the king might know the name of the magic tree." "Hair," said the other animals, "you're a genius. What a good idea. We should send someone to go and ask the king the name of the magic tree."
"I will go," said Tortoise.
"Tortoise, we don't have time to wait for you. We need somebody fast." "Ooh, pick me," said Hare. "Pick me. I can do it. I can hop fast. I'll hop to the king. I'll hop back to the tree. I'll go really fast. Can I please, please, please?" "Okay," said the other animals. "Hare, you are fast. Go and ask the king the name of the magic tree." So Hare took off hopping. He hopped a very, very long way until finally he came to the place where the king lived. And he said, "What is the name of the magic tree?" And the king told him, "Yuwangalema." So Hare turned and he hopped back that long, long distance until at last he came to the tree. But there was a problem. Hares hop fast. Hares talk fast. But they also forget fast. "The name of the tree is Yuwingawonga. Yubigabonga. Yupity doopity doo." The tree did not let go of its fruit.
"I will try."
"Tortoise, you're the slowest creature on earth. We don't have time. We need somebody who can run. Somebody like Antelope." Antelope had four long, strong legs, perfect for running. Antelope said she would try. She ran that very long way to where the king lived. She didn't stop once, not even to catch her breath. And when she came to the king, she said, "What is the name of the magic tree?" And the king told her, "Yuwangalema." So Antelope turned and began running back to the tree, but oh, as she was running, she twisted her ankle. And the rest of the way, all she could think was, "Ow. Ow. Ow." When she got to the tree, she realized she had been so busy thinking, "Ow," she'd forgotten to think about the name of the tree. "The name of the tree is Owie Wow Wow. Oochie Ow Ow. I need an ice pack." The tree did not let go of its fruit.
"I am going," said Tortoise.
And he turned and began slowly putting one foot in front of the other. "Tortoise, we're hungry. We're starving. We'll die of starvation before you get back."
"I will hurry.
Tortoise walked all morning. Tortoise walked all afternoon. Tortoise walked all evening. And through most of the next day. But finally, Tortoise came to the place where the king lived. And he said, "What is the name of the magic tree?" And the king told him, "Yuwangalema." Now, Tortoise didn't want to forget, so he asked again,
"What is the name of the magic tree?"
And again, the king said, "Yuwangalema." Now, to be really, really sure he didn't forget, he asked a third time,
"What is the name of the magic tree?"
And for a third time, the king said, "Yuwangalema." So Tortoise turned, and with every step he took, he repeated, "Yuwangalema, Yuwangalema, Yuwangalema." And when he was so hungry, he could hardly hear himself over the grumbling in his tummy, he did not stop saying, "Yuwangalema."
He was so tired, he could hardly keep moving. He did not stop saying, "Yuwangalema."
And when he scraped his knee on a thorn bush, he did not stop saying, "Yuwangalema." And finally, 3 days after he'd left, he got back to the tree. And he said,
"The name of the magic tree is Yuwangalema."
And all of the animals who were there said it with him. They shouted out, "Yuwangalema." And the tree let go of its fruit, and the animals feasted. And thanks to Tortoise, they all survived the famine. So do you remember just before, Reverend Myron read the story of the widow? And Jesus was a storyteller too. He told the story to teach people that we should pray and not lose heart. Now, it definitely doesn't mean that we should be worried about our hearts falling out. They are not going to escape from our body and get lost in the mess in our closet or dreadful mess in our lockers, maybe. Some people know what I'm talking about. What does it mean, not lose heart? Yeah. Oh, I like it. Not lose hope. Not give up, I think, was maybe the words that we saw on the screen. What did the other animals say about Tortoise at the beginning? Said his ideas were funny and that he was no help. I think the widow in the story kind of felt the same. Everyone was ignoring her. She had no power, but she would not give up the same way Tortoise would not give up. That hare was pretty rotten, wasn't he? Stealing Tortoise's good ideas. Kind of like the judge in the story who was pretty rotten, wasn't listening, said, "I don't care what God thinks, I don't care what people think." Luckily, Tortoise did not give up. Do you remember what he said when he got to the tree? What was the name of the tree? Humongalama, good job. Well, at the end of the story, the tree let go of its fruit, and the animals had a feast. And we have a fruit feast over here. So if you would like a little snack, you should come grab one of these delicious, juicy apples. Anybody ready for a snack?
These are not like the green apples that Jeremiah was talking about. just so you know.
All right, who needs a snack? Come on over. You're welcome. You're welcome. There's more, don't worry. You're welcome. Anybody else need one?
There are more apples up here, so if you want one afterwards, you can come get one too. Thank you very much, Renee. Let's give her a hand. Kids, you can go back to your seats now. And the youth can come back up to their places. And just the adults. I'm not sure that there needs to be any kind of one in order to that they might learn the value of what prayer is. Why do we pray? Because I think we sometimes have some interesting ideas about why we pray. Just feel free to shout them out. I'm asking non-rhetorically, why do we pray? Okay, I really like that one. Marcel, of course. To say thank you, that is a very important thing that we do. Did everybody hear what, I repeated what Jean said, but did everybody hear what Marcel said? So say it again, Marcel, so everybody can hear. To reset ourselves when everything is falling around us and to acknowledge that we depend on God. What else? To ask for help. Keeps the relationship live. Absolutely. Any other thoughts? Oh, yes. We do have to say that, which is another way of acknowledging our dependence on God, right? It's a different kind of acknowledgement. One of my favorite authors, Soren Kierkegaard, he titles one of his little books, The Upbuilding That Lies in the Fact That in Relation to God We Are Always in the Wrong. In other words, not that we are always, God looks at us and says, you're wrong. It's just that we can never get it over on God. And we need to acknowledge that we need to stay in line and we need to acknowledge that we depend on God. Anyone else have a reason why we pray? Yes, to align our wills with God's will. And I think sometimes, one of my favorite Christian writers is a guy who was a professor of philosophy at Fordham University, and he gives one of the best descriptions of prayer, but he tells a story about going to Rome with his family when his children were little, and he had a young son who was, I think, 5 or 6 years old, and he had gelato for the first time. And has anyone ever had, like, honest to goodness, real gelato? See, I've never had it in Rome, but I've had it in Bolivia made by people from Italy, and I was told it's exactly the same. It's amazing ice cream. It's really amazing ice cream. And so what happened for the rest of the trip? This little boy followed his dad around and said, Daddy, I want some gelato. Daddy, I want some gelato. Can we have gelato? Daddy, when are we going to have gelato? And he said, while that was happening, he had like this image that this must be how God feels with me when I follow him around saying, Daddy, God, could you please give me this? Could you please give me that? You see, it's not just about getting stuff. I love the things that you said, because everything that was said here this morning is exactly what prayer is all about. It's really, I think, about, here's, of course, a very preacher thing to say. It's about immersing ourselves in God's presence. And in that, we come to know God's mind. And we bring to him the cares and concerns that we have. And when we pray in the way that the tortoise did, when we make it our steadfast purpose to be in that place with God and to never let go. One of the alternate readings for today was the story of Jacob wrestling the angel, which is a crazy story, because the angel apparently is Jesus, pre-incarnate, but we won't get into that. And he overcomes him. And he will not let him go until he bless him, because he knows that he is in the presence of the one who is greater than he is. You see, that's the tortoise just steadfastly stepped it out and said, I will not let go of this. And when we do that, I think we pray that way, when we live our lives that way. You remember that, I'm really dating myself. You remember that old Keith Green song, Make My Life a Prayer to You? It's a bit cheesy, but there really is a sense in which our lives are to be prayers, lived in God's presence. And when we do that, I think we find we will be really surprised what God does through us and how God changes us. And yes, I think it really does release the fruits around us. But the primary goal is to go to the source of life and drink deeply there. Please stand and let's affirm our faith together. Let's say this together. We believe and trust in God, the Father Almighty. We believe and trust in Jesus Christ, his Son. We believe and trust in the Holy Spirit. We believe and trust in the three in one. Ah, yes. Please be seated, or please sit or stand or kneel for the prayers of the people. We're going to do something a little different this time. It's going to be quite short. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. Here's what I'm counting on. I'm counting on audience participation.